Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
Our scripture reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Become mature. Be encouraged. Be of the same mind. Be at peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Lord God, we want to be partners with you in your great work. Help us to fully understand the vital importance of bringing comfort and encouragement to your people. Move our hearts with compassion. Fill us to overflowing with your joy. Make our witness impossible to suppress. Lord, encourage us because we want to be encouragers. Shine your light on us so that we may draw from it. Lift us up so that we may lift up those around us. Help us to live in harmony as one body to your glory. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. So we live in a day that it really is possible to rent anything. You can rent somebody's house through Airbnb. You can rent somebody's car. People are even renting their fashion labels. They're renting their clothes out to other folks. You can rent anything. And a woman in New York City recently took advantage of this. Her name is Nina Canali, and she had raised two children of her own, and she noticed a need in New York City that a lot of 20s and 30-somethings were moving to the city without any parental guidance. And so she said, I'm a pretty good mom. I'm going to rent myself out as other people's mom. Okay, and she started a little company called Need a Mom. And for $40 an hour, she'll come over and cook, she'll clean, she'll give you advice. She even has an email and a text messaging service. She'll even go with you to your doctor's appointment. She went with one young man to his colonoscopy. That's a little weird. But her little tagline is, when you need a mom, just not your mom, right? So here's the deal. I appreciate that entrepreneurial spirit because there is a great need. But let me tell you the really great news about that great need. In the church, we give this stuff away for free. If you need encouragement, if you need community, this ought to be the place where you find it, and we give this stuff away. And I want you to think about this for just a minute. Our lives really do center around a set of relationships. Our relationship with God is most important, and our relationship with people is next in line. If those two things aren't in line, then life doesn't seem right. Isn't it interesting that what we need most is also the very thing we neglect the most? We'll say, yeah, I'll get around to God one day. Listen, life is incomplete without him. Say, well, you know, once I succeed, then I'll become friends with people and I'll become more social. And listen, we need God and we need other people. That's the core of how we are made, and we will never fully reach our true destiny of who we can be in Christ without Christ and without community. So Paul, at the end of the Corinthian letters, after all this talk about all the commands and all the correction that he gives to the Corinthian Christians, he says this, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. So since 2008, prescription drug deaths have been greater in number than all heroin and cocaine deaths overdose combined. Okay, since 2008. We live in a world that doesn't offer joy, it offers numbness. That's the best it can do. But here in the community of Christ, we're supposed to be people of joy, right? And I say this again and again, I don't want to serve a church that doesn't know how to laugh. So we are to rejoice. We are to become mature. Gregory of Nyssa, a guy from way back in the 300s AD, he said this, we sin anytime we refuse to keep growing. We sin when we refuse to grow. As followers of Jesus, we call each other to grow, we call each other to change, we call each other to maturity. And then we are to encourage one another. Now let me tell you one thing that might change the way you treat everyone in your life. Okay, if we could really understand this one thing and fully embrace it, it would likely change the way that we treat every single person in our life. Listen to this. Every person you meet feels like they're in a battle. Every single person you meet feels like that they're in a war. Every single person you meet is tired and they feel like they're running behind. So the next time that person doesn't treat you nice, just realize chances are it's not about you, it's about them. Every person you meet feels like they are in a battle that they are losing. And so we are called as followers of Jesus into this hassled and harried world to offer encouragement. And again, we give this stuff away for free. So notice what Paul doesn't say here. You know, rejoice, become mature, be encouraged. He doesn't say, hey, you need to work really hard as a person to be interesting. So if you're like me, when I meet new people, sometimes I get nervous and so I start talking. And when I'm nervous, I talk about myself, right? Because I want to be interesting to that other person. Nowhere does the Bible command any of you to be interesting. Boy, that's a good thing for some of you. Yeah. No. No, we're not called to be interesting. We are called to be interested. It is our jobs as followers of Jesus not to try to come off as interesting. But if you change that, if you say, I want to become interested in other people, here's my rule of thumb. When I talk to people, especially for the first time, I want them to do 80% of the talking. What does that mean? I do 80% of the listening. And I only do 20% of the talking. When you do that and you become genuinely interested in other people, they'll walk away from that conversation and they will go, man, that's the best conversation I've had in a long time. Because people love to talk about themselves. If you find anyone in your life that you think is boring, you are wrong. You just haven't asked the right questions yet. Every person you meet is made in the image of God. So don't worry about being interesting. Become interested in other people. We're also not commanded here to try to impress others, to be impressive. So we live in a world that likes to impress, don't we? So men, if you want to look more attractive to women, let me tell you how to do it. Because a lot of you need help in this area. Trust me, you need some help in this area. Actually, the University of Nottingham in Trenton, they did a study on what clothes a man could wear to make him most attractive. And what was discovered is a t-shirt with a T on it will make a man most attractive to women because it gives the illusion of broader shoulders, smaller waist, kind of that cutting that V image for women. So this is proof yet again that to be a Texas fan is an attractive thing. All right. Like a big O is going to help you? I don't think so. I mean, that just telling you the way it is. By the way, we're doing this teaching series on people, you know, being the worst and the best, and we're using images from an airplane because that's where people are often the most irritating, is on a plane. Well, I flew this week on Monday. I just took a quick day trip down to Dallas and back, and I got up so early in the morning, Jesus wasn't even up yet. I got up and I went to the airport, and there was a guy on my shuttle at the breakfast place on my plane wearing an OU shirt, and he was loud and as if I needed another reason to hate OU. All right, I was like, man, this guy is so loud. He was wearing that Sooner shuttle or whatever you call it, that little wagon that you guys wear. So, are you encouraged yet? I just want to make sure you're feeling encouraged, right? We are not called to try to be so interesting. We're not called to impress others. We are called to be an encouragement to others. So listen, this is where it came home for me. A couple of years ago, my dad was in ICU for 2 weeks. And we decided as a family that while he was in the hospital for the length of his stay, there's always going to be a family member in the room with him. We just decided that. And we said, every day, we're going to say words of encouragement. No matter if he was conscious or not, no matter what the trend was, no matter what the doctors were saying, we're going to say every day, you're getting stronger, you're getting better, you're going to beat this, you're coming back. We are going to give those words of encouragement, and he eventually did. Now, let me tell you, we walked by many hospital rooms for that 2 weeks that there was never anyone in there. We cannot survive without encouragement. This is a basic human need. And guess what? It is commanded from Christ to his church. You need to be people of joy. You should be becoming mature, and you must be people of encouragement. Encourage one another, because every person you meet feels like they are fighting a battle. And you need to be there for them. So let's do some practical application of this, okay? I said we're staying on this verse for a month, but we're using it as a launch-off point to other places. 1 Thessalonians is the book of encouragement in the Bible. So Philippians, joy is all over the book of Philippians, okay? We'll talk about that next week. 1 Thessalonians is the book of encouragement. In fact, 7 times in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul uses the word encourage or encouragement. It's just one of those repetitive themes throughout the book. So let me set this up. Paul went to the Thessalonians early in his ministry. He went there and he shared with the Thessalonians, here who Christ is, here's his grace, here's his forgiveness. They received that. What Paul also taught was Jesus is coming back soon. In fact, any moment Jesus can come back. We still believe this. Now, from their perspective, they took that literally, and so should we. Jesus could come back any moment, but here's what happened to the Thessalonians. They believed that so fully that when Christians started to die, they began to worry. Well, we thought Jesus was going to come back before anyone died. Now, we understand now, with 2,000 years of history, that Jesus' waiting is an act of grace. He's giving everyone the opportunity to respond to the love of God that is in Christ. But he still could come back at any moment, right? But the Thessalonians were a little bit discouraged because here loved ones that they were waiting on the return of Christ, they began to die and they were getting confused and they were getting worried. So 7 times Paul uses the word encouragement. I want to look at those last two. So here's what 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says. It says, 4:18, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So, what words did Paul just use? And here's where I want to take a moment and I want to encourage you. Because Paul has just talked about death. Every single person in this room has experienced the death of a loved one. The death of a parent, the death of a spouse, the death of a child, the death of a friend. There may be one or two that you've not experienced that yet, but chances are just about everyone in here has experienced the death of someone that still every day you think about them. So let me encourage you with what Paul says about death. He says when Christ returns, when that finally happens, there will be, and here's my favorite word for the return of Christ, there will be reunion. Okay? Now, if you ever were part of a bad family reunion, don't think about that for the next few moments. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to think about the reunion when that soldier gets off the plane or when he shows up and surprises his kid at school. You know, that's the kind of reunion that I'm talking about. So, Paul says when somebody dies, what happens? So, 2 things happen when a person dies. Their body is put in the ground. We see that part. Here's the part we don't see. Their spirit goes to be with the Lord. Okay? So, their body goes in the ground. Their spirit will go to be with the Lord. Now, when Jesus returns, here's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to return, and all those who are dead in Christ will return with him. So, Jesus is not coming back by himself. It's a parade, all right? The dead in Christ are going to return, and it said, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Okay, I thought the dead were coming with Christ. How do they rise first? Well, there's going to be a reunion between their spirits and whatever's left of their body here. You see, if you think that we spend eternity as little puffy clouds, you've not read the Bible very closely, and you've not seen the resurrection body of Jesus. His body is actually a template of our own that we can interact with but not be limited to the physical world. So there's going to be a reunion between body and soul, okay? There's also going to be a reunion between us and them. So those who are dead in Christ, listen, here's the deal. Right now, your loved one is in the presence of God. They are fully aware that they will see you again, and they are fully alive. There is no doubt in their mind. Okay, we have to bear that doubt because we can't see it, but they are fully alive, and they are fully aware that they will see you again. It is a foregone conclusion. So there will be a reunion between body and spirit. There will be a reunion between us and them. And then, best of all, there will be a reunion between us and him. Jesus Christ. We will see him face to face, and we will spend eternity with our loving Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. All will be well. all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. Teresa of Avila said that centuries ago, but it's just as true today. So Paul encourages the Thessalonians with this talk of death. Then the last time he mentions the word encouragement is actually in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. So in 4:18, he says, encourage one another with these words. He's talking about death. What is he talking about here in 5:11? Between 4:18 and 5:11, Paul is not talking about death. He's talking about life. Encourage one another as you live life. So the Yugas Road in Bolivia is the most dangerous road in the world. Every year, 300 people die on this road. It's called the Yugas Pass. It's 10% of the traffic fatalities in Bolivia happen on this road. It's one lane. It goes through high altitude. It's not paved. There's no guardrails. If you're coming down the mountain, that's when it's the most dangerous because you have to go to the outside, and you're at the mercy of oncoming traffic. 300 people die every year. Paul is very clear. Right before he says this, he's very clear. Life is dangerous. It's a dangerous, dangerous road. And there's two ways of being encouraged through that. Okay. One is there'll be peace and security. Okay. Now, I encourage you to go back and read this little passage because that was actually a tagline of the Roman government. We'll give you peace and security. We will make Rome great again. Is that where our hope is in politics? That's not a stab at any political party. But that was the mantra. Trust us. We will make life easy for you. Or life is going to be like birth pains. Show of hands real quick. How many of you have experienced birth pains? If a guy raises your hand, I'm going to kick you out of here. All right. So you've experienced birth pains. So that is the most pain that the human body can naturally produce that takes a person to the threshold of losing consciousness. It really is the most painful thing you can experience, with the exception of one other pain, passing a kidney stone. Okay, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on that one. I really don't want to know, right? You talk to somebody after they've experienced a kidney stone, they'll say, that was the worst experience of my life. You talk to somebody after they've had a baby, you'll say, that was so painful, but it was so wonderful. Why? Because of what you produce at the end. You don't take a kidney stone home and take pictures of it and you go, look at that, you know. If you do, I'm going to unfriend you on Facebook, all right? But you know the pain is producing something in childbirth that's completely different from a kidney stone. And Paul says, this is like childbirth. Life is painful, but it's producing life. Encourage one another. Okay, so I'm going to parse out just a few words what he says here. Encourage one another. The Greek word that's used there is actually the root word paraclete. For those of you who've been around the Greek New Testament a while, that's the word that we use for the Holy Spirit. Jesus and John calls the Holy Spirit the paraclete, the encourager. And actually, it's a Greek military term. Greek soldiers would have these long shields, right? They wouldn't use the shield to just cover themselves. They would use two-thirds of it to cover themselves and one-third to cover the soldier next to them. And everyone would have a shield at an angle, so the soldier next to him was covering one-third his lower parts as well. And so as you presented this united front, you would have a soldier fighting with you who was your paraclete. We cover each other. We watch out for each other. I've had people say to me, oh, I hate to be a burden on the church. Guess what? That's what you're supposed to do. And when you have a burden, we share it together. And then when I have a burden, I share it with you. And we cover one another because we have interlocking lives. Encourage one another. By the way, statistics say every 6 months a family will have a major crisis. Whether it's a child leaving home or an illness or a death in the family or a job loss or a move. Every 6 months, every family in this church we'll experience some kind of crisis. We link up together and we encourage one another. But then it's more than that. Encourage one another and build each other up. literally in the Greek, that build each other up, it translates like this: the one, the one. Basically, it says this: do this one-on-one. This is not just something of mass appeal. This is something that's very personal. So I want to encourage you to do two things. Be tuned into the Holy Spirit. Be very tuned in to the Holy Spirit's activity. And then be aware of people around you. Be aware of the Holy Spirit and be aware of people. So here's how it plays out for me, particularly on Sunday morning. As I'm getting ready, as I'm driving in, I'll pray something like this: God, help me to see the people I need to see today. Help me to be aware of other people and in tune enough with your Holy Spirit that you'll bring me across the path of people I need to talk to today. Now, ideally, I should do that every day, right? We should do that at work. We should do that at our neighborhoods. We should do that at our schools. Because every person you meet feels like they are fighting a battle. And so if we're aware of the Holy Spirit and we're aware of other people, if the Holy Spirit is the encourager, He wants to share that job with us. And we become useful tools of the Holy Spirit to encourage others. So that when somebody is going through a difficulty, we can remind them, hey, this difficulty is part of your development. When somebody is discouraged, you know what the good news about discouragement is? If somebody's discouraged, that's a key, that's an insight as to what they're really passionate about. It didn't work, but the good news is you're passionate about something. Be aware of that. And then if somebody is just flat out depressed, listen, there's nothing you can do to fix that. But what you can do is say, I can't fix it. I can't make your problem go away. But I'm here. It's called the ministry of presence. You know what? When somebody is depressed or they're down, don't try to fix it. You don't have to worry about what to say. Just say, I'm here. I'm here. And I'm going to walk with you through this. Encourage one another. And build one another up, because life is tough, but it's not like passing a kidney stone. I wish Paul had written that in there. It's like giving birth. God is producing some good things, even in the most painful of moments. So I came across an article a couple of weeks ago by Jeff Bezos. He's, of course, the CEO of Amazon.com, and it's a very forward-thinking company. He said, you know, people talk all the time about how the world is changing. He says, I think about how the world is staying the same. He said, here are the things that never change. Here's what customers want. They want good prices, great inventory, and fast delivery. He said, those are the things that never change. Listen, world is changing all the time. But as a church, maybe we ought to start thinking about what doesn't change. Every person needs the forgiveness of God. Every person needs the truth of Scripture. And every person who's fighting a battle needs encouragement. Guess what? Here's what's going to happen. If you make it your life mission to be aware of other people and aware of the Holy Spirit, and you become an encourager, you will experience more joy than you'll ever thought possible. It's almost like a feedback loop. What you're looking for, you find when you encourage somebody else, because you're partnering with God to bring about good things. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, become mature, be encouraged, and be encouraging. Be of the same mind and be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. So, Father, for those in here today who are dealing with the reality of death, I pray that the words have been encouraging, that there is a reunion. There's a reunion that is on the calendar. We just have to wait patiently. For those who are having a difficulty in life today, we pray for encouragement, that the pain is actually producing something, that the difficulty is a part of our development, whether we fully understand it or not. For those who are followers of Jesus here, help us to be aware of your Holy Spirit and aware of other people around us. And where the two resonate, would we be people of encouragement? Forgive us when we become toxic to people around us, when we become easy to please, or easy to upset and hard to please. Help us to not be that kind of person. to be a person who actually looks for the betterment and the best of other people. We ask for your blessing on every person in this room today, especially those who need encouragement in the name of Christ, knowing that you've got us right in the middle of your hand. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.